Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as you did at Meribah, as you did that day at Massa in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good evening, everybody. Are you all right? Shall we pray as we come to God's word? I'm just going to take the end of verse 7. I'm just going to pray that over us now. So, Lord, today would we hear your voice. Amen. I love praying bits of scripture. It's great. So, I have a question to begin with. Are there any good Anglicans here amongst us this evening? One. The clergy put their hand straight up. You could always support the clergy. Anybody else? Anyone like to admit it? Great. Well, if you are a really good Anglican and you've been following your BCP morning prayer, like we did every other week at college, you will know that this psalm forms part of our daily worship, and you'll know it as the Venite Exultimus Domino, which means the Song of Triumph. It's quite a posh-sounding name, isn't it? And Steve was telling me beforehand he grew up in a church where they used to chant it every week, and I was wondering if you'd give us a little demonstration. Do you actually want to?
This takes me back a bit. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us shout aloud in the strength of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and show ourselves glad in him with psalms. This is not the version we used to sing.
Is it not?
No.
You must have sung a wrong version. This is the authorised version, according to the bishop.
Not the Church of Ireland.
No. Same prayer book, though. So, as I was mentioning, it's in the BCP, and it's actually one of the first things that comes in the order for morning worship. And I think that just shows just how important this psalm is. And you might be thinking, why am I talking about the BCP? I can see, David, you're shaking your head. It's probably the first time one of these has been in this church for a little while. Actually, we are the only denomination that includes this psalm in our worship, and this psalm every time and every day we pray. And I think it just shows just how important this psalm is, this call to worship. It's a really, really important psalm for us. This isn't just a psalm for us to study or to preach about, but actually it's a song of praise, part of our daily worship. So this evening, I've actually changed the title of this talk from what's on the new sheet. I'm actually going to call it Whole Heart Worship. And you might be thinking this is a slightly odd way for us to kick off an Advent series, to be looking at whole heart worship. But actually, I think it is probably the perfect way for us to start our series on Advent. You see, the first reaction of the shepherds, the wise men, when they come to meet Jesus, is to come and worship him, to worship this newborn king. So I think that's the perfect way for us to start this evening. And when I'm talking about whole heart worship this evening, hopefully we're going to look beyond what it means to be to do the action of worship, the kind of physical thing, and to look at the internal reflection of our heart, what it means for us to have whole heart worship from our heart. So the first thing I want to say this evening about this psalm is that this psalm for us is a call to joy. It shows us the many physical ways we can worship God. It's about singing and bringing thanks to him, to bow down, to kneel, to extol him, to declare his greatness. There are so many ways in which we can actually worship God. And I've got a little video of a rather amusing way. One worship leader once got some people to worship God.
Put a place of honor in our hearts for you, Lord. We know that we can't receive anything from anyone until we have honor in our hearts for them. So just like Moses, as a sign of honor, as a sign that you are removing the things that separate you from the holy place, I just invite you to kick off your shoes right now. Come on, everybody, all over this place. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. Kick your shoes off in this place. And while you're down there, grab a couple socks. Come on. Everybody gonna grab something to spin. You guys ready? Adam, you guys ready? Go ahead, guys. Come on, put those things up. Spin your shoes, sock, keys, I don't care. Everybody, you're not spinning anything. Come on, grab something. Everybody. Yeah. Let's sing this. You spin me right round, Jesus, right round, like a record, Jesus, right round, round, round. You spin me right round, Jesus,
round. I think we should do that next time. We should come to that place of honour, take our socks off. Should we sing that afterwards, Joe? You sure? Jokes aside, but there is loads of different ways we can worship God, even taking our socks off and spinning them round. Only in America. This is, I think this is a really interesting psalm of worship we have here. Because actually, as a psalm of worship to God, it's not actually addressed to God. It's addressed to the people of God. That's the people whom it was written to, but also to us today. It's a response to the joy they've seen in their creator. And it says, in his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, and his hands form the dry land. It's a call to joy. It's a response to God, the creator. It's also a response to the joy of the knowledge that God was their God. It says in verse 7, for he is our God. This creator God, the king above all kings, the great God, is their God. This is Israel's God. There's something different in their celebration here because they're actually claiming God. They're saying this God that we're celebrating is our God. He's not like the gods the other people are worshipping, but he's our God, the creator God, the God to be worshipped. And there's actually praise again in this psalm because we are his. We are the sheep of his pasture. We belong to him. The God who can fit the whole world in his hands holds us also. So God is our God and we are his. And that's our call to joy. And we see this response in the psalm of this joy is to come and sing. The response to the knowledge of who God is to sing. And the people addressed here in this psalm are a people of song. And I think it's really interesting when we look at other religions and the worship of other gods and the worship of other gods actually in the Bible. There is no other faith like the Christian and Jewish faith who sing. Singing is something that is unique to the worship of our God. Most gods that we see worshipped, most false gods, they're about striking fear into people and all kind of a serious nature. But actually our God is a God of joy, a God who loves to be sung to be worshipped. He's a God who created music, and he's a God who created song. And when we sing, when we make music to God, it's a reflection of our emotion towards him. I think it's almost impossible for us to have music and song without emotion in it. We can't really sing and play without emotion. And here in this psalm, the emotion that they have is joy. And the people that the psalm is addressing here, it's also a call, not only is it a call to joy, but within this call to joy, there is a humility. There are people called to be humble before God. They're to know their place before him. They're to come to him and bow down and kneel. They don't lose this sense of awe and wonder, even in their state of joy, at the knowledge of who God is, and the state of joy of singing. They still have this sense of awe and wonder when they declare God's greatness, able to humble themselves before him. I heard a good analogy of what this is a bit like. It's a bit like the child when their parent comes home. They're so full of excitement that they're there. There's real joy. But actually, there's a real understanding that they're the person in authority. It's a bit like the same relationship we have with our Father God. I find that image a lot more meaningful now than I would have done when I go home each night. Ellie comes running in. It's Daddy, it's Daddy. But she knows that I'm the one who's in authority. And when she decides then to do something naughty, she still has this joy at seeing me, but she knows the respect of her dad. Not that she's naughty, she's a pleasure all the time. But that's only half the psalm, really. We've only really looked at half of this psalm. That's the first seven verses. And it's not really common, actually, for us to kind of look at the last little bit of the psalm. The psalm's from like 7.5 onwards. You don't hear many worship songs which start with, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." And if there's any songwriters out here, I want to just give you a challenge. Write a song on verses 8 to 11. It's an important part of the worship in this song, but it's not the bit that we normally go to. But I think actually the second half of this psalm is the true reflection of what worship is. Here we see a warning of what having false humility in worship is. I think this call to worship is a bit is often misunderstood, because actually God loves it when we sing to him, when we sing songs of love and praise. But our lives need to reflect that. Our lives need to reflect the true worship of God. And that's our call to obedience. See, true worship is not about the formalised things we do, the kneeling, the bowing and the lifting of our hands. It's not about our enthusiasm in our songs, the action or the noise we make. True worship, I think actually within this psalm, is about hearing God's voice and obeying what he says to us. It's about doing what God wants us to do. I don't truly worship God by singing about how great he is, while I ignore his commandments, ignoring his greatness by doing what I want to do. That's not true worship. My response to God's greatness should be obedience, to finding out what he wants me to do, and then living my life as a reflection of that, listening to him and being obedient. I think it's in these last verses here that we really see what true worship is. And we read here there was a failure in the worship of the Israelites. In verse 8 it says, "Do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day in Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers put me to the test and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work." They had hardened their hearts before God. The Israelites had turned away from him. And as a result of turning away and hardening their hearts, they were disobeying God. They did not accept his word and they did not trust him. Instead, it tells us that they tested him. And it was true disobedience. And the psalm actually tells us here that God loathed this disobedient people. It says he swore in his anger that they shall never enter his rest, the promised land which God had prepared for them. But let's go back a little bit. In the second half of verse 7, it says, "Today, if you hear his voice." We actually know that this psalm wasn't speaking to those people who entered the promised land because it was written a lot later. It was actually probably written around the time of King David. So the Israelites had already entered into the promised land, into this place of rest. So it seems a little bit odd. But you see, actually, the Israelites living in that promised land at that time had never really found their rest there. They'd entered in physically, but their hearts were left behind. They'd never truly entered in and never truly accepted all that God had for them. So you can still be in this promised land, but be at war with God. And the psalm here is a call for the people at the time when this was written, around the time of King David, not to make the same mistake the Israelites had done a few hundred years beforehand. It's a call to honour and obey God at the sound of his voice. I think it's important when it says today if you hear his voice. That means today, right here, right now. This is an everyday psalm. And I think that's why we have it in the Book of Common Prayer. Why the reformers decided to put it in for us to read every day. And they saw how important this instruction of joy was, but also this instruction of obedience in our worship. This is a message which is true today, just as much as it was thousands of years ago. See, there is only one day for us to live in obedience, and that's today. We can't really worry about yesterday. Yesterday has already been. We can seek forgiveness for it, but we can't live in obedience yesterday. We can only live in obedience today. We can't worry about tomorrow. The scripture tells us not to worry about tomorrow, to live for today. Jesus might come again by the time you get home, so live in obedience now. You might walk out of here and be hit by a bus, so live in obedience now. So we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. See, wholehearted worship is about being obedient to the voice of God. And from that obedience, then celebrating in joy, the joy that he gives us. So we need to almost start at the end of this psalm and work our way forward. We work from that place of obedience and then knowing the joy that God has for us and celebrating that. Celebrating the joy of knowing him and belonging to him. I came across an interview this week with one of the writers from Hillsong. And it's the lady who, Brooke Lichterford, is that right? I can never say her name. Brooke Fraser, let's go by the easy name that she goes by. And she wrote the song, What a Beautiful Name. And that song has gone as you all know, it's made the charts in Australia. It's probably one of the most popular worship songs of the moment. And there was an interview, and I just want to read a little bit of it. It says, in an interview with Selena Gomez, she names you her all-time favourite worship singer. This is speaking to Brooke. How has it been for you being able to impact others? So to impact others that have so much influence in this generation. And Brooke's response was, that's lovely, but I don't think it's necessarily healthy to give those kinds of thoughts any time. Those who've had the most impact in my life and the most influence throughout history, and the people on me personally, have been basically entirely unaware of any such influence and have made their chief concern their personal devotion and obedience to God, and have known the pleasure of God in the hidden things of their lives. I think that's an amazing response from someone who's making a lot of money doing what she's doing and can actually seek global fame, really, for what she's doing, which is actually the most amazing thing is to come back and be obedient before God. That's the biggest thing of influence. So I think wholehearted worship is about being obedient to the voice of God, and from that obedience, celebrating in his joy, the joy that he gives us, the joy of knowing him and belonging to him. And I think that's what we see first in the Christmas story. The first act of worship was not at the stable, not in the stable, not at Jesus' feet, not at Jesus' manger. It was when Joseph obediently decided to look after someone else's baby, to look after his wife. It was when the shepherds obediently decided to leave their sheep to go and find the newborn king. as when the shepherds obediently decided to follow the star to look for this new king. The true act of worship in the Christmas story began not in the stable, not surrounding the manger, but in the act of obedience of each person involved in choosing to listen to the voice of God, to be obedient to him. As I was thinking about this afternoon, I was struck by the words of this old hymn. And I just want to finish by reading this to you. It's probably one you all know. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. What we're going to do is I'm just going to pray for us now. And I just want to offer just a time just for you to come before God and just to say sorry maybe for the things where you're lacking in obedience. God, as I've been speaking, I feel like there's some people here that God might have been just speaking to you about some things that you need to align in your life, some things to just kind of come before him and say, God, I know I'm not following you in that thing. That might be a really small thing or it might be a really big thing, but they're equally important. I think I just want to encourage you that if you felt God saying something like that, just talk to someone about it if you can. Pray with someone, get someone to hold you accountable. Find your running mate, the people that you're meeting up with to do life with, and talk about it. So I'm just going to leave us a bit of quiet. And then as our response to that, as I said, is to celebrate, is to sing with joy. So we're going to worship together after. And we're going to come before God with joy. So let's just have a moment of quiet together. Lord, we say we're sorry for the times when we've been disobedient to your voice, when our lives have not matched up to the expectation you have for us, when we've not followed your commandments, when we've not followed after you. Lord, we pray that all of our lives would be worship to you. Lord, help us to hear your voice and be obedient, to offer that true heart of worship to you, to offer all of ourselves and to be able to say, Jesus, you are Lord, and we follow after you. Father, we thank you that you are a God of joy and we celebrate in that joy. Father, help us to sing of that joy, to bow down before you, to kneel before you, to exalt you to that place that you deserve. Lord, this day we say we worship you, for you are our God and we are yours. Amen.